You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Another great episode for you guys today. Sorry I missed out on Tuesday's episode again. Like I said, I got my wisdom teeth removed on Monday, and so it was very difficult for me to speak or talk or really get out of bed because that shit hurt. But I'm back, and we have another great guest. Jonah Jordan will be on the show today from the Daily Memphian. If you've not already subscribed to this podcast, please do so. You can get the Locked On Grizzlies podcast on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you get in your car, just tell your smart device to play Locked On Grizzlies, and it'll play the latest episode. Pretty cool. Again, if you have a moment as well, please go and rate and review our podcast in Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show in the iTunes rankings. Today, we're going to talk a little bit, before we get to Joan, we're going to talk a little bit about, obviously, the decisions coming up for the Grizzlies, and we'll talk a little bit about this every week before our guest segment. But the Grizzlies' next big decision, obviously some news, let's get some news and notes first. Jaren Jackson Jr. voted first team All-Rookie. Hasn't happened in a decade. So that's pretty cool. Jaren Jackson Jr. Getting voted first team All-Rookie in the NBA was pretty cool. Also, the Grizzlies has released a few more names that they had been have interviewed. Nate Tibbetts and Adrian Griffin, Jaren Collins. They've interviewed a few more people that we've talked about before. Alex Jensen and Yasikevich. Again, still can't say it. Not going to worry about it because it appears from our good friend Peter Edmondson that tweeted that he will not be accepting the Grizzlies' job. He's going to be staying overseas. So it was good to see the Grizzlies releasing names. We talked about on this show, on this very show, Nate Tibbetts back in February or March when someone asked me for some names for some possible coaching candidates. So I love the fact that they're going out and interviewing some of the top candidates, some of the top assistant coaches, Jaren Collins, also one of those guys. So again, I would love for them to go out and actually release the fact that they are interviewing some retreads, just some coaches that may have been fired that have actual head coaching experience. I mean, depending on the person, that's something that I think they should definitely look for, especially if you have guys that are coming in, new, younger guys in a draft at number two, maybe Ja Morant, RJ Barrett still up in the air. Hopefully it is Ja Morant, as we've talked about on this show. But whether you have new guys, Ja Morant, you have Jaren Jackson Jr., a lot of young guys coming in on this team. You know, someone that has some head coaching experience could definitely those players can definitely benefit from having that type of coach. So that's something I think the Grizzlies definitely should do. Hopefully they're able to get that done and at least release some names that obviously they've released names of that the coaches that they interviewed in the assistant coaches kind of realms. Hopefully they'll release some names of the male or head coaches that have maybe been fired or let go in the years past or in recent years or even this year. Some of those guys that they could definitely talk to. I'd like to see some of those names come out as well. Coming up on the deadline for the Grizzlies, obviously the draft lottery has already happened. The next date, everybody, you're gonna look for is June 13th. Coming up pretty quick, just in a few weeks. Jonas Valanciunas, that's when his option date happens. Jonas Valanciunas had some interesting quotes. I'm sure that you guys have probably already seen them on the Twitterverse. If you've not, go look that up. He did a sit down interview with a reporter overseas. Jonas Valanciunas' option date on June 13th. He will have to decide whether he's going to accept or decline his player option. That will be big to know what the Grizzlies will be able to do in the offseason. Even without that, I don't think they're able to do much as far as in terms of just money. They are very, very limited this year. We should all be looking towards probably next year. Unless for some reason they're able to trade Mike Conley into space, which again, I just don't think that would happen. There's not a whole lot of teams out there that have the space. There was a Ringer article that came out about Mike Conley's trade value. I'll probably get to that tomorrow. I do want to talk about it, just the idea of Mike Conley, because that's still out there, and what you could get from Mike Conley. But without trading Mike Conley in a space, really, and getting not taking a lot back, maybe if Jonas Valanciunas declines his option, then maybe you start to have some money to work with. But even then, you still have Chandler Parsons' contract staring at you in the face. I would be surprised if they stretch Chandler Parsons, but that it is something they could do this summer. I actually think that contract will probably get a little bit more valuable coming up this trade deadline at the end of this year. So I think they probably, hopefully, they'll just hold on to Chandler and just bite the bullet. But Jonas Valanciunas is going to be the next date that you guys are going to look out for. Obviously, the draft on the 20th, the qualifying offer for DeLon Wright and Tyler Dorsey, that's June 29th. So that's something to look for as well. DeLon Wright, if you have to extend these qualifying offers to make them restricted free agents. So if they do not extend the qualifying offer to DeLon Wright, if they do not extend the qualifying offer to Tyler Dorsey, they are not able to match whatever they go out and get in free agency. I would expect them to obviously extend that qualifying offer to DeLon Wright. Tyler Dorsey is still very much up in the air. His, I think, is like 1.8. I'll have to look it up, but I think it's somewhere like 1.8 for Tyler Dorsey's for his restricted free agency qualifying offer. Again, if they don't extend the qualifying offer, they are a free agent. They can go wherever they want. So that has to happen to be able to match whatever they have out there. Obviously, Dylan Brooks, Ivan Rabb, and Bruno Caboclo all have non-guaranteed deals as well this year. That's decisions they'll have to make on those guys. I believe Dylan Brooks will be back. I believe Bruno and Ivan, those guys will be back. I don't think that they wouldn't be back. They're such small deals that I don't think it makes much sense to let them go when they've definitely shown flashes, especially Dylan Brooks and Bruno at the end of the year, and even Ivan. As we've talked on this show a lot about Ivan Rabb, their contract fully guarantees somewhere in July. And then Avery Bradley, his fully guaranteed contract is July 3rd. So Avery Bradley is obviously, if you let him go for you, that will cost the Grizzlies $2 million instead of keeping him for the whole 12. If the Grizzlies somehow found a way to trade Mike Conley in his space, if Jonas Valanciunas declined his option and you bought out Avery Bradley, then you start to have some money to work with. I mean, it would still take a lot to get there, but the Grizzlies would still have they would have some to work with. If none of that happens, they'll still have the mid-level exception, and this year they actually have the biannual exception, something that happens every other year for teams over the salary cap. So those two things will be their most likely ways to sign players this free agency. That's their most likely mechanism, those two things, to sign free agents and in this free agent signing period in July. So those are some notes. Those are some dates for you guys to look for and pay attention to. Again, we'll talk about those as they come closer as well, but I just wanted to get that out there. Have something for you guys to be looking forward to, or what you should be looking forward to in terms of dates and what should happen in those dates in June and July in the offseason for the Grizzlies. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jonah Jordan of the Daily Memphian. He's a writer over there, writes about the Tigers college basketball. So we're going to talk to him about RJ Barrett. We're going to talk to him about Ja Morant on what he thinks the Grizzlies should do at the NBA draft. Remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Today's show is also brought to you by Untuck It. Dads come in all shapes and sizes, and so should their shirts, like tall, short, slim, and relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual, untucked look that isn't sloppy. That's where Untuck It comes in. Untuck It is the solution that fits just right. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailored required. Go to untuckit.com and get promo code NBA to get 20% off. Welcome back to the show. Another great guest on today's episode, Jonah Jordan of the Daily Memphian writes about the Tigers there, college basketball, and a little bit of everything else. Jonah, what's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just got done writing about Penny's press conference today. He's killing him on the recruiting trail. It's been a busy couple weeks.
It has been. The Tigers are looking great as an alumni. It feels good to see that finally once again. I wanted to have you on. I want to talk to you about college basketball. You obviously write about college basketball. You're more in tune, obviously, than I am. Probably a lot of people listen to this podcast. So as the Grizzlies get the number two pick, a really, really lucky deal for, in the draft, the draft lottery. So now they have to choose between, or they are going to choose, although it's reports have said that they are intent on selecting Ja Morant. To you, is there an obvious choice at number two?
Yeah. I think it's obviously Ja. You got to take him because, I mean, he's probably the best point guard in this draft. He is the guy besides Zion who could be a superstar, but who has all-star potential. I think RJ Barrett's right behind him. I think we'd have a different opinion of RJ had he gone to a different school and gone into a different situation. But at this point, Ja's a better fit. He takes you into the future. He's a better fit next to what you have in place already. So why not roll with that, you know?
Hey, I'm on the Ja Morant train, but I do think that it is worth having the discussion between RJ Barrett and Ja Morant, is it not? At least getting them in a workout and seeing the two guys and then making a decision. I think ultimately the decision will be Ja Morant, but I think it's worth the discussion. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's talent there. RJ Barrett can score the basketball. He shot 53% on two-point attempts last year. He took too many threes. Spacing with Zion was terrible. I mean, they didn't have anybody to space the floor last year. Cam Reddish didn't really do what they needed him to do in that department most of the season. And it hurt them. But when he was without Zion, he was fantastic. He was one of probably the best player in college basketball. So look at those games. I mean, he was great. So I think the way we think of him is kind of a product of the team he is on. I mean, there's a reason he was the number one recruit in the nation. He was ranked over Zion. That there's talent there. So you got to get him in for a workout. You got to at least evaluate. You would be doing a disservice to yourself if you didn't.
What is RJ Barrett? Is he an all-star in this league? I kind of think that he could probably be an all-star every year. But I think ultimately Ja Morant's the better player just because of his playmaking abilities. But what do you think about RJ Barrett?
He's either going to be Jason Tatum or Jabari Parker. I mean, it's kind of like it's going to be one or the other. I mean, I think he could be kind of a more athletic Jason Tatum type of guy. There's obviously some differences in those two. I think Tatum's probably a teeny tiny bit taller, but like. Those two guys, like, he could be very good. He could be an all-star. He could be a guy to come in and score 20, 19, 18 points a game. I think somebody compared him to Chris Middleton. I don't know about that one as much, but I like him. I mean, they're the three best guys in the draft, honestly. I kind of am wanting to see them bring in Darius Garland and Coby White for workouts too, because I think those are the next best two outside of those three. Darius Garland could be a stud. I mean, that's the kind of guard you want in this league. I think he would probably be in this conversation had he played a full season.
We talked about Ja Morant, and obviously you and I both think he is the right pick there. What can Ja Morant be in this league, in the NBA? Do you think that he – I personally think he is a bona fide star. I'm a huge Ja Morant fan. Where do you land on? Where do you think he ends up 5-6 years from now?
I just don't know. Is he going to be better than Mike Conley? I doubt it, honestly, because that's so much to ask of a guy. I mean, that just seems so unlikely. Sitting where I am right now, not because of Ja, but because of how hard that is. Now, could he come out and surprise me? Sure. Could he be a functional, maybe just on the cusp of being as good? Probably. But if this draft were different, I think he probably would be lower. I think if there were better guys in this draft, I think if he were in the – if we were to take him now and put him in last year's draft, I don't think he goes in the top two. I don't think he goes in the top four. So I think he's great. But I also think he's going this high because of how just kind of down this year is. Now, sure, could he come out and all-star? Sure. But right now, I'm not as sure. But could he be good? Yes, absolutely.
Speaking of Mike Conley, does it make it easier to trade Mike Conley if you draft John Morant?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's your point guard of the future. Why couldn't you draft? What purpose would Mike Conley serve? I guess you could say he's a mentor, but at some point, the Memphis executives, the Memphis front office, their new guys, at some point you have to look at it and say, okay, we're wasting Mike Conley. This is somebody who's done so much good for Memphis, done so much good for us. Why don't we do right by him for once and say, okay, where do you want to go? What do you want us to do? And if he wants you to trade him, you do it. And if not, maybe he wants to stick around and usher in the new face of Memphis Grizzlies basketball. But right now, I mean, like, let the guy go compete. Let him go compete for a championship. How long has it been since he did that?
I tend to agree with you. I saw as soon as they got the number two pick and a lot of the draft lottery, there was a lot of talk on social media, on Twitter. Obviously, that's not the representative of what everybody thinks, but it just feels like that's the bubble we live in sometimes. But of shopping the number two pick, I immediately shot that down. I did think that's kind of just silly. I mean, obviously, you listen to phone calls always on everything, but thoughts on shopping the number pick and trying to get something maybe packed and getting something better with Mike Conley. I've seen some of that float around, or just being happy taking the pick and pairing John Morant with Jaren Jackson Jr. for 9 years, almost a decade.
Yeah, I mean, there are no guarantees in this world. Like, Ja could easily bust. Memphis fans are pretty familiar with that at this point, obviously. But, I mean, what are you going to get from Mike Conley in the second pick? What are you going to get? I mean, what are you going to get? Eric Bledsoe? No. I mean, are you going to get more picks? Why would you do that for more picks? It doesn't quite make sense. Why would you get more pieces when there is no clear direction of the team? I think I heard Chris Harrington talking about this, how that going from eighth, which you don't – if you have the eighth pick, you don't know what you're doing next season. It kind of sends you back into that mode of, okay, are we going to tank? Are we going to do this? Do we need to win games? Do we need to make moves to help win games? Now the direction is clear. You need to rebuild around these two people. Whoever you get with the second pick and Jaren Jackson, that is the clear, clear direction. And trading that pick with Mike Conley just seems to muddle up the future even more, and it seems unnecessary.
I think you're right. I mean, you can honestly – in the NBA, you only really need two really, you know, kind of star players to build your team around. I mean, obviously Golden State has four or five, but, I mean, most teams only really have two. And then they move pieces around those two players until they kind of find the right fit. I think that is the clear direction, like you said. I mean, you take Ja Morant or whoever, if it's RJ Barrett, whomever they take. I mean, I think at this point, Ja Morant obviously I think would be the pick. They said as much, and you pair that with Jaren Jackson, and you move forward and you get whatever you can from Mike Conley. Speaking of the Grizzlies front office, though, what do you think is your thoughts on the coaching search? Are you happy they're taking their time? Or do you want them to go and make a pick? Or do you understand that the waiting could be beneficial for them?
Wouldn't you want? Here's my thing. I understand what they're doing. I understand taking your time. I understand feeling out the process. But you kind of need to get somebody in place before you go drafting, right? Before you do these workouts, before you trade Mike Conley, don't you want a coach who knows what he's getting, who has input in the process? Why would you hire a coach after you've done all of these things, a coach who had no input on what his roster is going to look like? That seems like it would narrow the candidate field pretty significantly, right, in my opinion. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, okay, we basically decided what your team is going to look out. Now you go out and coach them. You have no input in this roster. We did all of this. We hired you after all of this. Good luck. Roll the ball out. Go play. You really, and that's me. Like, what does that say about your future with the organization? That seems like you're already off to a bad start with a coach you just brought in.
So you think definitely before the draft or even soon?
Yeah, I think they should have already done it, but I understand what they're doing, but that you gotta get it done eventually. Like, at some point, it you go past looking like, okay, they're taking their time. It looks like you don't know what you're doing.
And they have interviewed several people, all of whom have been either assistants or top assistants. No connection has come out since of, like, you know, retread coaches. Are you happy with it under a hot assistant, or do you think that they should go out and find someone that's actually had head coaching experience, a retread of a coach, and bring that person in to rebuild with this team.
So, you know, something that drives me crazy is, it drives me insane is how watch J.B. Bickerstaff. J.B. Bickerstaff was bad with the Rockets and he ends up on the Grizzlies bench, and the Grizzlies were like, we're going to go give him a head coach. And then you sit back and you watch him and you're like, okay, this guy may not be good at this. And it's like, and people throw their hands up and like, how would we know this is going to happen? You know? You have an ample amount of evidence to show you with Houston Rockets, who had much better players than the Grizzlies, who were in a much better situation, that it didn't work. This happens all the time. It happened with David Fizdale. It happens where it just seems like basketball teams want to handpick from a certain 8-9 number of people who do not work and have evidence to show that they do not work. Like, Lionel Hollins, I don't really understand Dave Eager keeps getting jobs. I can name a million people that keep doing this over and over and over again. The guy who got fired from the Raptors last year, he ended up in Detroit. Nobody wants to admit, okay, maybe we should sit back and go find a new name. Luke Walton got fired from the Lakers, ended up in Sacramento. These things aren't coincidental. You're losing for a reason. If you think the head coach is the reason he got fired for a reason, I don't understand why he is all of a sudden going to be new somewhere else. I'm sure there's somebody who's going to tweet at me when this goes out and say, oh, this person ended up working out. But it doesn't work like that. You got to go find a new name, new breath, new system, new something. Like, I really hope they don't go hire the guy at Phoenix Suns. I know that's kind of a different situation, but like, that situation's all messed up. But go find somebody who hasn't done, maybe not has done this before, or I wouldn't mind hiring a college coach. I think people have different opinions on that, but just a breath of fresh air in the NBA would certainly be nice for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sold on a retread, although they finally flooded out Nate Tibbett's name, which is a guy that I mentioned probably in February or in March when we were doing this show, and people had a mailbag of potential candidates. I didn't really even have talked about it then, but Nate Tibbetts has always been a name that's been floated around, and that's been good, and you know, supposedly good at this job. So, you know, I wouldn't be upset at a name like that. Also, probably wouldn't be too upset at a retread. You know, I think that has you have a point, but at the same time, a lot of the coaches, some of the coaches that worked out were coaches that lost because they had bad rosters, and all in this league, it's, you know, if you have bad players, and it's just what it is. You can't really be good. So, I get it. At the same time, though, I would not be upset at either one of those things. But I'm with you. I think they should definitely try to get it in soon. With draft prep coming up, with lots of decisions coming up, you want that coach to have input. I mean, and Jonas Valanciunas even said that he wanted to know who his coach was before his opt-in date of June 13th. So, a lot of questions have to be answered, and a lot of decisions have to be made. Jonah, I really appreciate you coming on, man. Last thing before I get you out of here, I really upset you the other day, and our friendship teetered on Twitter because I said that I didn't like Giffen's donuts. And I think that was the worst hate mail I've ever gotten on social media ever. I mean,
I really don't know.
Someone sent me a DM and asking me how could I.
Oh, are you serious? I was kind of messing with you.
I was serious. I was not a joke when I tweeted that people should not send me hate DMs because of donuts. That really happened.
I've only ever gotten the hate email over Tubby Smith. which I feel like I felt kind of good about that one. I was like, okay, I'm on the right side of this one.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna worry about it. But you can't hate on Gibson's, man. It is better, and we are. You could blindfold me, my friends. Drive me crazy. They say I couldn't tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi. I absolutely can, and I could tell the difference between Gibson's and a Dunkin' Donut any day of the week.
Well, Dunkin' Donuts trash. I mean, I'm not saying here that Gibson's is Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme or anything like that, because that's trash donuts. I was just saying that it is average in the way that it's as good as Howard's. Howard's is as good as Gibson's.
Oh,
that's what I'll say.
You're crazy. That's the worst.
We're gonna have a donut taste off, me and you. And
next thing
Parker
you're gonna say is
others.
Central. Next thing you're going to say is Central's like the same as the barbecue you can get down at like the Hollywood or Rock and Roll Hall or like the, what is it called, the Hollywood Cafe place. Like, you're crazy.
Central barbecue is the best barbecue. I mean, that's hands down. I'll agree with that any day of the week. That's not a question. I don't think that's.
I'm just
debate,
waiting on but, you to hit the Mormon institution so I can retweet it and watch people get mad at you.
Man, I'm not going to have any more hot food takes for a while. that was a tough day. This is my phone going off nonstop, and I just laugh when someone sends me a DM about their donuts. That was the tip of the iceberg. Anyway, Jonah, writer for the Daily Memphian, man, I appreciate you coming on. Make sure you guys go subscribe to the Daily Memphian. $7 a month, right, Jonah? $7 a month?
Yep. Yep. I think
It's so little, I don't notice it come out of my bank account. I put it like that. So get all of Jonah's writing, Chris Harrington, Jeff Calkins, all those guys over there do a great job. So I appreciate it, man.
And lastly, today's show is brought to you by Grip 6 with their goals to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. Grip 6 is an easy, thoughtful gift for dads, brothers, husbands, uncles, grandpas, or even moms and wives if you see their women's collection. Ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and it carries low profile with the buckle laying flat against the waist, making the belt super comfortable. Grip 6 is the only belt with no holes, no flap, and no bulk. Grip 6 has a special offer for you at grip6.com/lock. That's grip6.com, LOCKE. Thanks again to Jonah Joyner for joining me today on the show. I really appreciate his insight. I really appreciate him taking the time to talk with us about college basketball, what the Grizzlies should do with the number 2 pick. I do not agree with his Gibson's take, but that's okay. If you didn't see that on Twitter, you can find it and throw me some more hate mail on Twitter about how Gibson's is the best donut in Memphis. I tend to disagree, but that's okay. That's why everybody can enjoy their own donuts at their leisure. Thanks again for listening, and remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play Locked On Grizzlies, and it will play the last episode. It's very cool. Again, if you have a moment, please go rate and review this show in Apple iTunes. It really helps our rankings there. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back tomorrow with Gary Parrish from CBS Sports and ESPN 92.9. Has a show there every day from 4 to 6. Make sure you tune in and enjoy and get that show tomorrow.